obvious from the whole Gemara like that, because the Hafrashas Truma must be introduced with a bracha. Before you mafresh a truma, you have to recite a bracha. Shekhin shon hekana lafresh a truma. And when you recite a bracha, lachatchili, you have to say the bracha so loud, atshi yashmi aliyaznav, like in Kriyashma. Lachatchili, you have to say Kriyashma loud enough that you should hear the words. So the bracha that you say before, hafresh a truma, should also be said so loud that you should be able to hear it. But the one who is being mafresh the truma is deaf, so he, as loud as he'll scream, he won't be able to hear it all. That he will never be able to recite the bracha in a lahatchilah fashion. So it's considered as if he's mafresh truma without a bracha, or he's mafresh truma with an incomplete bracha. His bracha is not going to be 100% bracha because he will never be mashmili yazm. So that's the pshat in the Mishnah, that lahatchilah, the cheresh is not allowed to be mafresh truma. That's what we learned, that's how Rashi says. And that's obvious from the Gemara, that Rashi's pshat is the correct pshat. Rashi writes, lo yitram, why not? Why does Rashi, why does the Gemara keep on speaking about the bracha? Why don't they say a simple pshat? That when the mafresh truma, you have to say, hareza truma l'ashem alako. You have to say a hafrosha. So why not say that since you need an amira, and the amira is the same pshat as the bracha? What's the problem if he's deaf and he has to say a bracha? He can speak. The answer is no. Whenever you have an amira, so amira l'chatchila requires atshi yashmi l'yozni. We should hear what he's saying. So say it requires atshi yashmi l'yozni. We should hear what he's saying. So say simply the hafrosha, the kriya Hashem has to have an amira, hareza truma l'ashem al hakol. So the hafrosha has to say this hafrosha so loud that he should be able to hear himself saying it. And in the end, the hafrosha would be good even if he doesn't hear it. Why did Rashi and the Gemara like that? Rashi just took it to the Gemara. Why do they say the problem is because of the bracha? Why not because of the actual hafrosha, the kriya Hashem, what we call kriya Hashem? Recite love, hareza truma l'ashem al hakol. So last week we assumed that the simple pshat is because we learn out from a pasuk, v'nechshav lachem trumaschem, pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach, that truma kemicha b'machshava, that you don't even have to say hareza truma l'ashem al hakol. If a person has in his mind, he sets aside truma and he has in his mind, he wants this to be truma. Even if he doesn't say anything at all, if he thinks kriyashma in his mind, if he does hirur and the kriyashma, then he's not yoytze. The Gemara says at the end of the next parak, the end of the third parak, hirur alav kedibur dami. If he recites the Kriya Shema, but he doesn't say it loud enough that he should be able to hear the words, that's a machlekes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yudah, and then we pass him that the Yevid one is Yotze Kriya Shema. But in Hafreshas Truma, even if he just has in mind that he wants this to be Truma, the Truma is Chal. He doesn't even have to recite anything. That's what we assume they think. That's the Pasuk. V'nechshav lachem trumaschem, and the Gemara in Gittin and Chorus and other places derives from that Pasuk that Truma is intelligent to Machshav. That the Truma will be Chal, if he just has in mind that he wants it to become true.
Not that can be in the Kaddish with Kesef from Kervish. Kervish is the Kaddish with Kesef. He has to say how they have the Kaddishes, he can't hear it. It would be the same quality.
No. There is certainly no problem. There he certainly doesn't have to be Mashmeli Yazna. No. As long as the Kala here. As long as the Kala and the Aiden know what he says. There it's not an Indian of Amir, it's not a mitzvah of Amir. There he's talking to somebody. He was talking, the whole time the person's talking to himself. He says Kriya Shema to himself. He's not talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. When he davens, he's talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. That's why we mentioned last week, Ashita's Rashi, that you don't even need Lachatchila Mashmil Yaznav by Tfilah, because the Rabbanu Shalom hears. Even if you don't hear, you're not talking to yourself. But in Kriya Shema, you're not talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. It's not... you're talking to yourself. And then... In Kriya Shema, the person speaks to himself. So in Hafreshas Truma, also the person speaks to himself. He's in Hareza Truma L'Hashem Alakom. So the...
Maybe the purpose Shabbos or some other time, you can't be Hafreshas Truma, but basically, you can do it with Hashem.
Right. But the question is that good L'Hatchila or is that only good B'diyevet? This halacha that we assume, that if a person is Kor Hashem Truma, B'machshova, without Amira, that the Truma is Chal, is that perfectly all right? Lachatchili has the mitzvah b'chol shlei musa b'chol hidura with just being perish and truma b'machshava, but he said that that's only the year. Maybe we derive from the pasuk that it's chal b'diyevet, but if you did it, the truma is chal. But lachatchili it's not good. So this is a machlokes between the women and the shulchan and Rebbe Kivega. All the women have a machlokes with Rebbe Kivega. When the women bake bread, cake, or cookies, whatever, and they have to be mafresh challah, so what they usually do is, the minig hanashim is, that they take out a little bit and they say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu V'Yisrael V'Tzivanu, and then they say Baruch Ida Lahafrish Chalom Inu Yisrael Lahafrish Chalom Lahafrish Truma, whatever. It's a different shaila what the nusach habracha should be. And then after they say the bracha, they don't say anything. They just told the challah, and they said the bracha, and they burn it. But they don't say Harei Zeh Truma Hashem Alakol as they are supposed to. So Rabbi Kivega quotes in the name of the Ravid, quotes in the name of the Shulchan, quotes in the name of the Gemara, that he's supposed to say, after you say the bracha, then he's supposed to say Harei Zeh Truma Hashem Alakol, and not like the Minig Hanashim that they don't say anything. So why do the women not say anything? So Al Pi Pashtus, the women assume, the Minig Hanashim is, the women assume that the Truma is Chav Machshava, and Chala is the exact same thing as Truma. Truma and Chala are the same thing. So the Pashtus is, because the Truma is Chav Machshava, it's even good L'Hatchila, the Mitzvah is Bishlei Musa. The Mitzvah is Bishlei Musa by being Machish Truma B'Machshava. And what does Rabbi Kivega hold? Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the Yeridei Hilchas Chala quotes this in the name of the Shulchan. The Ravid quotes the Shulchan, quotes the Mishnah, the Gemara, and you have to have the Amir. Why? Apparently he's of the opinion that the Hafrosh of Chala will be Chal b'di'evet. If you mafresh Chala b'machshove, the woman has in mind that she wants this to be Chala, it'll be Chal. It will take effect. But l'chatzila, the proper thing is that she should make a Hafrosh of Pri Asher in the fair. She should pronounce the words with her lips, HaReiz HaTrumim Hashem HaLakot. So it's not right, l'chatzila, just to rely on the machshove. That's the posh pshat. That seems to be the machlokes between the women and Rabbi Kivega. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Shulchan, says no. He says that even the Minig Hanashim is not based on this assumption. The Minig Hanashim that they just recite the bracha and they don't say Harei Zeh Truma Hashem Alakol can even assume, like Rabbi Kivega is assuming on Yeridaya, that when you mafresh chala l'chatchila l'mitzvah b'shtal musah to make a kri Hashem b'dibur, you have to say Harei Zeh Truma Hashem Alakol. And that Truma is chal b'machshav is only b'dievet. It's going to be an incomplete kiyum mitzvah. It won't be Bishlei Musa. I said, why don't the women do the mitzvah Bishlei Musa? So he says, a whole fancy answer. It's unbelievable. Gives a whole, he has a lot of tradition in his commentary on the Shulchan. So he wrote it as a teenager. This unbelievable chidushim mifloim. So he claims, based on a Gemara and Bav Netzi and Perek HaZohar, he claims that when a person is magdish something, a person is nafresh truma, if he'll be kurish and truma, he'll declare the hegdish kefer, so the Kedusha will be more intense and it will have more Kedusha than if he would have just been Magdash at the Machshava or just been Mafish Truma Machshava. That's assumption number one. Then he assumes assumption number two is that we have a din of Mishmeres Trumosai, that a person is not permitted to be Mitame Truma. If you have Truma, so you're forbidden to be Mitame. What happens if I have an Issa Tameya? The person is tummy, let's say the person is tummy, or the pots and pans in the house are tummy, and you mix flour with water, so the flour is tummy, everything is tummy. So the flour, the water, the pots, the person, all four are tummy. Everything is tummy. So if the isa, the dough that you've kneaded is tummy, then when you're going to be mafish the challah, so it's going to be challah tmeya, so far from, that's why we burn it, for challah tmeya. If it wouldn't be challah tmeya, the Kohanim would eat it. So if it's challah tmeya, so they don't eat it. So the challah that we're going to be mafish is going to be chalut meh. But we have no brera. This doesn't constitute a violation. The Easter is if you have chalut tahora, if then you're not permitted to make it tummy. But if you have an Easter tummy, or if the dough is tummy already, then we derive from a pasuk that you're obligated to be mafresh chalut, and there's no violation of mishmeres trumosai. It's not considered an aver that you're creating truma tummy. So the Netziv says, well, it's not exactly so. He says it's belais brera because you have no choice. That's why it's not an aver. But to the extent that you can avoid it, then you have to avoid it. How can you avoid it? So he says it's better to be mafresh the chala b'machshove, so it'll have less kedushas chala. Because if you be mafresh the chala b'dibur, then you have a more intense kedushas chala, and that wasn't really necessary. That you can live without that, because you're permitted to eat the rest of the dough. If you're going to bake the cake and the cookie, you can eat everything, even if you would be mafresh the chala b'machshove. So to that extent, you don't say, well, b'leis brere, what can you do when you have to violate the Yisrael? No, don't be mafresh at the dibur, just be mafresh at the machshava. So the kedusha of chala will be at a lower level, so you won't be violating to the full extent the din of the shmeres trumos. He claims that that's the pshat in the Minig Hanashim. He claims the Minig Hanashim assumes Rabbi Kivega is right, and still goes further. Assumes that Rabbi Kivega is right, that what? Rabbi Kivega writes the name of the writer, the name of the shulchan, that even today, that everybody's tummy, everything is tummy, is still supposed to be mafresh challah b'dibur, and the women machmir. That's how he puts it. The women are machmir, not to be machmir, not that they're makos. Not that the women are makos, but the man is challah mashon. Now the women are machmir, not to be chal, not to say the amira on the challah, because of the problem of mishmeres tumos. That the emes from our gemara, lechari, you see that with the kivayim is wrong, no? Because the gemara bayas quoted this mishnah in tumos about the person who is able to speak but who is deaf, that lachatchila he's not permitted to be mafresh tumah. And the reason given why he's not permitted to be mafresh tumah is not because lachatchila the mitzvah bishlamus is to say hareza tumah l'ashem, and whenever you speak lachatchila you have to be mashmir liyarvna. That the gemara ignores completely. Rashi and the gemara clearly ignore that. They're only worried about the bracha, that when you mafresh tumah you have to recite a bracha. When you recite a bracha, then you have to have amira shiashmir liyarvna. But no one is worried about the fact that the Kriya Shem of the Hafrosh Eschala itself should need an Amira, and that Amira should be Mashmili Yozna. So the simple pshat in our Gemara is the way we assumed last week, then, is that since Trume and Chala is Chalva Machshava, that's the right in the Pasuk in Korah, the Nechshav of Hantrimas, and that the Trume can be Chalva Machshava, so there isn't even a requirement, Lachatzilah, that you should have Amira. It's the simple reading of our Gemara. Our Gemara seems to substantiate the Midigal notion that they don't bother Lahatzila even to make an Amir. So then is Rabbi Kivegi or difficult? How come Rabbi Kivegi quotes a writer, he quotes the name of the Shultis, based on Gemara, is that it's not right that Lahatzila you have to have an Amir. That's a good kasha. Taisus asks that kasha in Kiddush. We have a din that all the agricultural mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs are for his guards, are limited to Eretz Yisrael. They don't apply in Kutzlaret. So the Gemara says that therefore, not only Trumas and Maisers don't apply in Kutzlaret, the Chala also doesn't apply in our Torah. The mitzvah of Chala doesn't apply in our Torah Kutzlaret. With the Rabbanon, we apply Trumas and Maisers to Kutzlaret and Chala, but to a different extent. Trumas and Maisers applies only to Kutzlaret, to the Aratus HaSnuchas to Eretz Yisrael. To those countries that border writes, you know, Syria has a Kedusha Sarek under the Rabban, but even that's Syria, that's a Mitzrayim, Amun Umayyav, Jordan after doing his part of it. Next to Jordan. The next part, well, what's next? Iran, I don't know, whatever's over there, that's with the Rabban, that's Chai Bobo. Bobo was Iraq and Iran, the Gemara says in Beit from the first pair. The Yitzhak will not just Trimus and Maisis in Bobo. The Gemara says in Chulamach, that they will not just Trimus and Maisis in Chutzlora. The Tosafot says, what? How can I do Mafresh Trumas Maaser in Kutzlaret? The Mishnah says it's a mitzvah kli b'aretz, an agricultural mitzvah, even a hegesel b'aretz Yisrael. So Tosafot quotes the Yerushalmi, Tosafot says Chulin has a long arichas on Daf Zayin. Then at the end, after a whole block, a whole amud of the Tosafot, and praise goes over time and out, Tosafot finally quotes the Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes also, that in the Rabbanon, the Chachamim instituted Trumas and Maaser by Rotsis Asluchas b'aretz Yisrael. Only those countries that border b'aretz Yisrael. Chalah, they instituted all over the world, in all the Chutzlaret. So Tosis asks, why the discrepancy? Tosis in Kiddushin, Alach Malach Ches, asks this kasha, why the discrepancy? If Chalah in the Torah only applies in Eretz Yisrael, that they instituted in the Rabbanon, they should have limited Dafka to the Arotzos HaSmuchos to Eretz Yisrael, to the countries that border on Eretz Yisrael, like in Trumas and Isis with the Rabbanon. So to that kasha, but those are the facts, that's the bit. I just want to understand why. So to that kasha, Tosis suggests that perhaps there's a difference between the mitzvah of Trumas and Maisis and the mitzvah of Chal. That Trumas and Maisis, when it grows from the ground and you cut it off, it's already tethered. You're not permitted to eat it through it until you mark Trumas and Maisis. So that's a real agricultural mitzvah, that's a mitzvah for the world. Masha'enikein Chalah, when you cut it from the ground, it's not Chayv Mechala yet, until you knead the dough. And then is the din is beferish, I think we discussed it last week, the din is beferish in the Mishnah, in Challah, that if you take grain from Chutz Loretz, and you import it, and you bring it into Eretz Yisrael, and you knead the dough in Eretz Yisrael, then it's Chayv Mechala HaTorah. Then it's Chayv Mechala HaTorah. So then it's like the Chiddush, if it's Chayv Mechala HaTorah, why should it be called a Mitzvah Kli Boret? If the grain grew in Chutz Loretz, American grain, that's brought into Eretz Yisrael, and there in Eretz Yisrael they do the Lisha, they do the Gilgul, they do the Nesilus Amayim, they mix the water with the flour to make it into dough, then it's Chayv Mechala min HaTorah. So that's not really a mitzvah tluya b'aretz, but the Gemara says that it is, that we call that a mitzvah tluya b'aretz. And it depends whether the gilgul, whether the nisha, the meeting of the del is done in Eretz Yisrael, or the meeting of the del is done in Chutzlaretz. The Tosafot says that since it looks like a chodesh agur, it looks like a mitzvah, it's not an agricultural mitzvah. It looks very much like it's not an agricultural mitzvah. So even though in a Torah it is labeled as a mitzvah tluya b'aretz, and it only applies when the gilgul was done in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rabbanan, they declared it as a chodesh agur, and they obligated everybody all over the world to fulfill Chag. That's the case of it.
And isn't there somewhere where it says that one of the reasons that they said that they had to take Chag and Shukar is Shalom Tishak, that it wouldn't be a Shechicha. If they're so worried about a Shechicha for Chala, why wouldn't they be worried about Trumas and
Maestras,
which is even maybe more
important? Yeah. That's another answer that Tosis gives. Tosis gives another answer that Trumas and Maestras, you will always be mafresh by what is hasmuk of Eretz Yisrael. How then will you eat bread? How is it possible that it's possible that the goy will do the lish. The goy will bake the bread. It's possible that the Jews will never be mafresh chal, so they'll forget about the whole mitzvah. But you listen, it's enough to institute a barat to pass move us, and the mitzvah will not be forgotten. It's another way to place it. The same place as the Kiddush.
Isn't this supposed to be
the
share of 43 eggs,
42
eggs,
for you might be
supposed to
be able to just
do it
some, and then they throw. No, if you bake very little, if you bake less than that, then you're not going to push it. It's a subject exactly how to measure the amount of flour that's 5 pounds. So the post can say that if you need between 3 and 5 pounds of flour, you mafish chala without a bracha. And if you need more than 5 pounds of flour, then you mafish chala with a bracha. So the person, let's say, the woman, let's say, needs 2.5 pounds of flour, then she doesn't have to mafish chala. Even if she mafish chala, it's not chala. It doesn't take effect. Then later on she may have problems. Let's say she has a big cookie bin. She has a big cookie jar. And she bakes 2.5 pounds of cookies. And she's mafish challah, which is, doesn't take effect because it's less than the shear. And then she puts all the cookies in the cookie jar. And then she bakes some more, and then she bakes another 2.5 pounds tomorrow. And she's mafish challah then, and then she puts in the cookie jar. She did it at the second challah, the wolf not stop. But now that all the cookies are in the cookie jar, and you have 5 pounds of cookies in the cookie jar, now you are right. Five challah. That's the deal. That's
enough.
Two different years. Yes. Yes, that's a machlokes hatanoim. That's a machlokes hatanoim. And the Gemara says that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Usually we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, because Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus was Shamutehu. He's from the Beis Shammai, the Gemara says. I just learned this afternoon, I just said a shiur on this. So the Gemara says neither. That Ches Amar Aleph, to be exact, the Gemara says that this is one of the rare instances where we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, even though he's from the Beis Shammai, this is called Hasal Mitzar from Achala. This is called Siruf Sal. If you put all of the baked goods into a basket, even though originally when I needed this dough I only had 2.5 pounds, I needed that dough I only had 2.5 pounds, and each one was not mitzvah b'chala, if I put them all together, then it is mitzvah to be chayv b'chala.
What if you made 2.5 pounds without a broker, as you said? Or if you just took off, you know, and burnt the challah, you put the together 2.5 pounds and you put the break back. But now they join together, they have 5 pounds, and you haven't
said broker on either side, but you burnt the challah. So the deal is that the challah that I burnt was nothing, because when I was mafresh the challah, when I took out the challah from the 2.5 pounds, it didn't take effect because I didn't have enough dough. And the second time also didn't take effect. So even though I burnt the challah, put it aside, doesn't mean anything. Now when I put it all together in one cookie jar, if it's in one container, now it becomes mechuyev in challah.
But you're really saying then you can put 5 pounds of cookies at one time.
Okay. Between three and five pounds, the person can say between 3 and 5 pounds is the shilas. You have to be mafresh from 3 pounds and up. You mafresh challah without a bracha. From 5 pounds and up, 5 pounds of flour and up, you mafresh challah with a bracha. The shilas, let's say the woman baked, this is a shilah that comes up more often than it's called the cookie jar. How do you have a cookie jar that has 5 pounds of cookies? Tell me you don't have. And let's say if you have, the woman bakes a little cookies and she puts it in the freezer. She has a big freezer. And then she bakes the cake and she puts that in the freezer. And every time she only bakes 1.5 pounds of flour. But now she bakes, over a couple of months, she has 10 pounds of cake in the freezer. Do you say that the freezer counts as a sal? Is that considered one kli? That has sal mitzar from the chal. Let's say in each thing is packaged separately. All the cakes are packaged separately. So there's a tshuva that one of the rabbanim from the gates of Kailo, where he explains that you make one mistake. In the freezer, he says that there are many svaros lahakel, so he thinks that you should be made.
when we take matzah nowadays.
Very fascinating, truly. The shaila is an interesting one. And why not consider the freezer a kli also? So the freezer should be mitzara for all of the right. That's a machlokes. If you have a kli within a kli, each one is separately wrapped. That's a machlokes achreinim. So that's one of the tzadim off. Then a few more tzadim off.
The baked matzah would make a problem.
Yeah, you probably bake more than 5 pounds. Yeah. Whenever you make a shalom, more than 5 pounds of flour, so you recite a bracha. But according to this Gemara, don't we see the Chayrish from the whole discussion that we were learning last week? The whole problem of the Chayrish, the problem with a deaf person being mafish techala is the problem of a bracha, that he's going to be mafish techala without reciting the bracha in its fullness. Because it'll only be medaba veinu shamea, he won't be mashmili yozna. But regarding the kriya Hashem, the actual amira, hareiz etrim al Hashem, I said that somehow doesn't bother me. Why not say you need an amira shi mashmili yozna? So it would appear from the Gemara that you don't even need amira lachatchila. So doesn't this Gemara contradict Rabbi Kivega? That's the question. So the stam of the answer is no, it doesn't contradict Rabbi Kivega. The stam of the answer is the following. Rabbi Kivega means to say the following. I think we discussed this last week also. We discussed previously this. The din is, when a person learns Torah, he's required to recite a bracha beforehand. It's improper, the Gemara says that it's improper to learn Torah, to say even a pasuk. You're not permitted to say Reishis Chochma, let's say, with your children. My darling, you can say before you say Duchas Haver, it's not a pasuk. Unless you're going to say Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem, or something, a Torah Tzivu Lono, you're not permitted to say a pasuk even before you say the Duchas Haver in the morning. It's an isa. So the Shulchan Aruch has the following shaila. What if a person wants to think and learn? A person has not yet recited Brichas HaTorah, but is going to review in his mind some Indian of Divrei Torah. Does Hamaharib the Divrei Torah require Brichas HaTorah to be recited in advance or not? So we discussed, the Machaber writes, Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in the Shulchan Aruch, that one is permitted to learn Torah, behir hor, b'li brach. He doesn't have to recite a brach. And the Vilna Gaon disagrees, and he says why? Because it says that v'hagisa bo yom v'loyla, and the word higoyim means hegyon halev, hegyon libe lefanach Hashem tzuri v'goyim. So the Hagis b'yom v'loyla, one fulfills that mitzvah by thinking in Torah. And the Harbi Divrei Torah is mekayim mitzvah. So if he's mekayim mitzvah, if he thinks in learning, shouldn't he also require a bracha in advance? So to pel on the Shulchan Aruch, how can the Machaber write, how can Rabbi Yosef Karo write in the Shulchan Aruch, that one who thinks in learning doesn't have to recite a bracha? What do you mean that he's not fulfilling the mitzvah? So the Mefarshim all give the standard answer. Everybody gives the same answer. That the Machaber doesn't mean to say that one who thinks in learning is not yotzei the mitzvah. He says you don't say a bracha unless you do a ma'isa mitzvah. If a person is thinking in his mind, he has a kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but he's not doing any ma'isa mitzvah. The only time you recite a brichas mitzvah is if you do a ma'isa mitzvah. And Rabbi Yosef Karo himself writes this in the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Pesach, that when one is mevat l'chomitz b'liboy, and erev Pesach he's mevat l'chomitz b'leiv, so he doesn't recite any bracha at that time. Why not? Why doesn't he say shekudashon tesitzono abit l'chomitz? He's mevat b'leiv when he thinks kol hamira. So he says because when he's mevat b'leiv, there's no ma'isa, you don't recite a bracha on a hero. So the same seems to be the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Karo here, that Hamahar B'divrei Torah, true, he has a kima mitzvah, but there's no takon of b'yachas mitzvah for one who's fulfilling a mitzvah b'machshon. Only if you fulfill a mitzvah b'amir. So if so, perhaps this is the pshat. Rabbi Kivega says that it's not proper, he attacks the meaning of the notion, it's not proper that they recite a bracha al afrosh eschalo, and then they don't do any amira. So how we mafish chalo? We machshove. That's his point. Not that the hafrosh is chalo and machshove is an incomplete hafrosh. That the mitzvah would be more bishleimusa.
You're doing an action. You're doing an action.
But you make a block. But you make a block.
You make a block, but you don't have a meal. You just pick up the rule of meal.
Oh, that's a maise.
What are you doing here?
No, there's a maise. A maise is a lot of maise. Lower than that. No, but that's not miyakev. No, that's not a maise. Let's say you have the whole dough there, and the person thinks in his mind that the top quarter of an inch should be challah.
We're not talking about the woman and what she actually does.
Right. No, but that the act that she's doing is not the maise mitzvah. That's nothing. That doesn't count at all. Doesn't make it better. Doesn't make it better. Doesn't make it worse. No, 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 no. No, that's not the ma'isa afrosha. No, no. Now, Tosis points out,
if you don't do it, then you use up the dough. That's what you get. I mean,
you have to separate
that part of the
you have to separate it to take off the part that's chala from the part that's not chala, in order that you shouldn't forget and eat the chala because you're not a kohen. whoever is not a kohen is not allowed to eat it. The kohenim are not permitted to eat it either because everybody's tummy and so on. But the reason why we separate it is not because the separating of the dough is the actual ma'aseh of hafroshes challah. No, hafroshes challah is the kriya Hashem. I say I want this specific part to become challah. And then you separate it like you take, let's say you have a behemoth and you trebe the flesh, you take out the chelev, or you take out the dam. So that's a mitzvah, that's not a mitzvah, you just have to take out the tray for parts. So here also, you take out the part that's challah, that's a tray for part, that no one's allowed to eat. You remove the challah, that's not the mitzvah of hafroshes challah.
Does the kray have to be mafkish challah?
Yeah.
Why? If he didn't?
He can.
So why is he mafkish?
Then he doesn't have to pick it up. He just has to say, I hereby declare Enoch and Ami.
I don't know, we didn't say that by
the no, well, all you have to do is do the Kriya Hashem. No, no, not Mafresh. You don't have to do Mafresh like this. But you have to do a Kriya Hashem, you have to declare a specific part as Truma. You can't just say, anybody declares something as Challah.
When you do Mafresh by Truma and Mais and so forth, don't you physically have to...
No, that's what Taisus points out. Taisus in Gittin on Daf Lamed Aleph points out that we learn from this passage, V'nechshav, two things. Number one, that you don't have to physically pick it up. If I have, let's say, 50 bushels, and I have in mind that bushel over there should become Truma, I don't have to pick it up. And number two, I don't even have to pronounce Harezer Truma. I just have in mind Harezer Truma, and it's Chav. Taisus points out two things I learned out from the same
passage. You had two bushels, and you were separate already, so you didn't do anything. You just thought that one is separate, and separate. You're talking in case where
it's together. No. And even when it is together, the removing is not the actual Maisa. The removing is just the Hechidimtze to separate it. The Kriya Hashem is the mitzvah. You just declare which part of that dough you want to declare as the challah. So I think what Rabbi Kivager is bothered with is the following. The meaning certainly is that the women recite a bracha when they're mafresh challah. Rabbi Kivager doesn't mean to say that the mitzvah is more enhanced when you have a Kriya Hashem rather than being mafresh challah b'machshava. Probably not. But otherwise, why does the Gemara over here speak about the problem of the bracha? Let the Gemara speak about the problem of the amira, hareza truma, hareza challah. Yeah, the answer is no. The mitzvah per se of Kriya Hashem is the same with Yemafrish b'machshava, Yemafrish b'dibur. It's the exact same thing. If the pasuk says v'nechshav that truma is chal b'machshava and chal the same as truma, then it's chal l'chatchila also. It's not that it's an incomplete mitzvah like the Netziv claims. It's an incomplete kedusha. It's an incomplete mitzvah. No, the mitzvah is b'shlei Musa. The only problem is if you're mafrish chal b'machshava, then you can't say a bracha. Then you can't say a bracha because whenever you do anything b'machshava, there's no bracha on that. So if the woman wants to say a bracha, then she already has to make a kriya shem. She has to make a hafrosh. She has to say something b'divu. That's why Rabbi Kivega Tainis. He doesn't mean to say the women are doing the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion because they don't do amir. No, he's telling them one of shem. If they're saying a bracha, then they have to do the kriya shem b'feh. If they don't do it b'feh, just b'machshava, then they have no right to recite a bracha in the first place. So in our Gemara, the Gemara is not going to say that there's a problem by the deaf person that he can't say the hafrosha loud enough. He doesn't have to say any hafrosha at all. Hafrosha is chal b'machshava. It's the exact same kiyum mitzvah. Machshava, b'dibur, it's all the same thing. The only problem is the bracha, he has to say a bracha, he wants to say a bracha beforehand. And in order to say the bracha, you have to have a shmir. In effect, you will always require an amira by truma because we want the fellow to recite a bracha. We want him to say a bracha when he's mafresh truma. And if he's mafresh truma machshava, then he's not supposed to say a bracha. Whenever you do a mitzvah machshava, there's no bracha. So in an indirect, for a roundabout reason, we'll always require l'chatchila that anybody who's mafresh truma, mafresh challah, should have an amira. Because otherwise he has no right to say any bracha. But it's not because the mitzvah was more b'shlei musa, or that the kedusha is more enhanced if the hafrosh is done al-yidei amir. The pashtus is not like the netziv. The pashtus is that the exact same mitzvah, hafrosh is truma, whether it's b'dibur or b'machshava. Only because of the bracha. Right? That's how Rashi learned, and that's how the Gemara implies. Rashi says, "Lo yitcha because of the problem of the bracha, not because the amira won't be loud enough."
Don't say the bracha.
No, but they want to say the bracha.
Yeah, but you got a bracha. That's saying the bracha. You don't think
that'll be no. So that's what Rabbi Kivega says. We have to tell the women that when they say the bracha on hafroshes challah, if they're baking more than 5 pounds of flour and they're mafresh challah with a bracha, then they should say Hareza Truma Lashem Al Hakol. You should say such a creation.
There's some kind of problem that you're not sure to do because of the difficulty, right? There's some story where you put the knife in the horns of the goat. It's not so simple thing to say women are all doing wrong, they're all doing
wrong. Okay, that's Rabbi Kivega. It's okay to find his shoulders. He says the women are doing wrong. He says that they think wrong.
Okay.
And then it still claims the women are doing right. But we just point out that the Tzitz explanation seems to be contradicted from Agmar. Agmar seems to indicate that the whole Pshat and Rebbe Kivayu is a different argument. Not the way that it's presented it, that the Kedusha will be enhanced, and the Mitzvah, HaKroshes, Truma itself will be more Bishrei Musar, and you have it on Meir. So it seems to be contradicting Agmar. But the Kivayu just means to find it in the name of the Shulchus, quote on the right of Bishrei Musar. If you say in a bracha already, then you have to have a HaKroshes, but then you can't say a bracha if there's no... If there's no Akrosha, there's no bracha on a Mitzvah Mashal. Okay, so last week we learned the beginning of this Gemara. The Gemara, the theme that the Daf is discussing here is whenever you have a Mitzvah of Amira, like Kriya Shema, like reciting a bracha, do I require Lachatchila Achi Yashmir Liyoznov? Or do I even require B'diyevet Achi Yashmir Liyoznov? If the person didn't hear himself say the bracha, he's not even Yetz B'diyevet. But do I say even Lachatchili don't need Mashmir Yozno? There are three possibilities. The one says there are three shittas. All the three possibilities are found in Tanoim. So, so far the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yesi says, V'diyevet lo yotzef. Hakari v'lo hishmir liyozno. A person recites Kriya Shema, and he didn't say the Shema loud enough that he should hear. Rabbi Yesi says even V'diyevet he's not yotzef the mitzvah. Rabbi Yudah says that he is yotzef the mitzvah, but it's unclear whether Rabbi Yudah means that V'diyevet one is yotzef. Lachatchili Rabbi Yudah agrees that it's required to recite Kriya Shema loud enough that you should hear Hashem Hashem Eliyahu. But the Yevet, if one says Kriya Shema, V'lo Hishmi Eliyahu, he's Yetzir. Or does Rabbi Yudah mean to say that even the Hatchila, there is no requirement at all, even the Hatchila to be Mashmi Eliyahu? That's what the Gemara is debating now. So the Gemara now quotes our Brice. The Gemara now quotes Eloha Desanya. We have a Brice that says, Eloha Desanya, Lo Yivarach Adam Birchas HaMazim Belibo. A person should not recite the Birchas HaMazon, he should not bench the libo. What does it mean, the libo? In his mind. In Birech Yotzah. L'chatchili he shouldn't do it. But B'diyevet, if he benches the libo, is Yotzah. What do you mean, the libo? The libo really means the machshava. So Rashi translates the libo, Shelo Hishmir Liyozno. No. The Pasha Pshat is B'liba means B'machshava. First one is looking at a Benchel, and he's looking at the word and he's not pronouncing anything. Rashi goes out of his way that B'liba does mean that. It means that he did say the word, he didn't say it loud enough that he should hear it. Shaloi Hishmir Yozna. If it would be B'liba Mamish, if he just reads, he doesn't even pronounce the words with his lips at all, then Rashi's opinion is that he certainly would not be Yotze Kriyashma. There wouldn't be any Kana who would say that he's Yotze. That's based on the Gemara later, and the end of the third parak. That he who loved Kediba Dami, the Gemara has an uploaded, and the Maskanasa HaGemara is, he who loved Kediba Dami, that you're not Yetzi Kriya Shema, you're not Yetzi Brach, you're not Yetzi anything. And the only time there's a Machlokes on our daf is not he who, if the person will Kore despair, that he wasn't Kore loud enough, Shiyashmiya Liyozna, is that called he who, or is that called Kriya? That's the Machlokes, that if it's really the Libo, if he's really just reading in his mind, he's not even pronouncing the words.
What's the difference? Why should there be a difference if he machshava or he moves his lips? I mean, actually, there's no difference. There's no chalais. If you hear it, you hear it. So you said you got it. But if you didn't hear it, you could have said anything.
What is reading is your eyes? What is your...
No, it's a question. I don't know. The Balatanya has Avera Hadrush. He talks about this in the Sefer Tanya. Why? What's the difference between reciting Kriya Shema and not hearing it, or reading the Kriya Shema in your mind?
According to Rashi,
yeah,
when you say that you're allowed to say Tefillah by this moving your lips without saying it out loud, so it's definitely different than reading with your eyes. You mean, the Yaisa Shema Nesva and just reading with your eyes, so there is a big difference.
I'm asking what the difference
is.
There is a big difference.
I don't know.
The same words make it all different. For instance, if you want to be a Kriya Shema,
No, but you have to say loud enough that the Kala should hear, that the Eidim should hear. But if you say, if you don't say loud enough that anybody can hear, then yes, what's the difference between speaking so softly that nobody hears, even you, nobody hears, as opposed to just thinking in your mind?
I'm just saying, a lot of times, there are a lot of mitzvahs, you know, in fact, the Romans gave you sure that different types of mitzvahs, same words in the talk of mitzvah.
And yeah, that's what we assume. Yes, you are.
As opposed to taking them in your mind, you actually have to say the word.
That's not love. The hero is Lavki Diva Dami, but Amir is, I don't know what.
You mentioned Chama.
Kind of that feeling, yeah, that's Shmina.
Yeah, but she maybe heard it. He didn't hear it.
Yeah, in the Pasuk you can't tell. In the Pasuk you can't tell, but the Rashi in Yuma says that you don't even need that Shmili Yosno at all. He doesn't have
to. The Chayrish does.
The Cheresh Hamidaber Beinu Shamea. Who's Cheresh? He's speaking, but he's just there.
Somebody else can hear him. He can't hear himself. Yeah. Somebody can hear him. It's a different thing.
So the Gemara quotes this Brice again. The Gemara quotes the Brice in Lachatchila. One should not recite the Chamazon so softly that he shouldn't be Mashmuel Yozno. But he had in Birach Yotza, even though he was not Mashmuel Yozno. That's how Rashi translates. The Rambam doesn't learn like that. The Rambam has a unique shita. We don't pass like the Rambam. The Rambam shita is that it really means belibo. The Rambam reads the Gemara kipshuto. That although the Gemara says at the end of the third parak, there's a machlokes regarding kriyashma, where the hear her kidibu dami, hear her lav kidibu dami. That's only by kriyashma because it says vidibarta bom. So the machlokes, how do you translate the word vidibarta? Vidibarta means to speak, or vidibarta means to think. Well, you pass them what it means, vidibarta. Vidibarta means you have to speak and hear her lav kidibu dami. But if there's no pasik, let's say Birchas HaMazon, it says virachto as Hashem lakecha. It doesn't say vidibarta. You should recite a blessing. Or virachto, you should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can bless in your mind also. Or regarding Shahakom Nibidvaray, or Hamoitzi, or any other Birchas HaMitzvah, Alamichya, or Nifashit, the Rambam says over there, there's no pasik that says vidibarta. So the Rambam's opinion is there, that even the Hatkila, Hirhur, is Kedibudam. The Rambam says in all brachas and Shemana Esa, everything, you don't even have to pronounce the word. You say here, Kedibudam. A lot of people rely on that. The Rambam's opinion, yeah. The Rambam says that the only time there's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether here, Kedibudam or not, is only by Kriya Shema, because it says with Ibarta. But by all other brachas, even brachas deraisa, like Birchas HaMazon, the Rambam says, even by brachas deraisa, like Birchas HaMazon, like Kiddush, Halacha that here is Kedibudam. That's the Gemara, that Chol from the base, Chol from the Gemara. So the Rambam learns this Braisa Kipshuto. What if all of them Birchas HaMazon believe, he shouldn't bench in his mind, why not? Because you need Lachatchila Mashmir Liyazno. But B'diyevet, Mashmir Liyazno is not Ma'akim, so B'diyevet he would be Yez. But we don't pass like the Rambam, we pass like Rashi, that here who are Lach Kedibudam is not only applicable to Kriya Shema, it applies to all brachas. If the person reads the Shema Nesser just in his mind, even though he knows what all the words mean, if he doesn't pronounce it with his lips, so we pass him against the Rambam, that is not Yotze. He has to daven over the whole Shema Nesser. We don't say it's a bracha about Torah. He already had the Kavanah. He read through the whole Shema Nesser in his mind. We say even b'diyevet against the Rambam, that you're not Yotze. The only time you recommend to follow the Rambam that I've heard him is like this. That the person has a situation where he's in a state of suffix. As a suffix brought. You have sometimes a case of a suffix. Let's say he doesn't remember whether he said Hamoitzi or not. Or he doesn't know he doesn't know whether he went to Sidaim is good, so he washes over again, and he doesn't know whether he has to say another bracha or not. So the din is suffix bracha is lahakil. Suffix bracha is you don't recite the bracha over again. So I try to recommend you should always be mahara the bracha in your mind, because according to the Rambam's opinion, you'll be yotze the bracha like that. And according to the other poskim who hold not like the Rambam, so they say nothing is worse. The Avera bracha latal is only if you pronounce the bracha. But if you don't pronounce the bracha, you're just thinking a bracha in your mind. Probably not. The Rambam would probably agree that one doesn't violate bracha latal just by being a harher of bracha in his mind.
What if you heard?
To that right of assume probably only to pronounce it.
What if you heard a bracha from a tape? The answer, yeah. A lot of answer, who am I? Are you yotze with that brocha?
Yeah.
You have a tape recorder with 10
brochas
and you
want to
make a brocha
with it. No, you're not yet. You're not yet. It has to be a human being.
Or a telephone.
A telephone is another shayla. If it's live, the telephone is another shayla. The cockpit is also another.
There's no deeper, but there's a shmir. You get the vibe. There's no deeper. There's a shmir.
Telephone is the shayla. No. A telephone, let's say they read the Megillah over a loudspeaker. It's a shayla and poskim. Havdol over a telephone, Havbroch over a telephone, let's say someone says Kaddish over the radio or something like that, so the shadows whether the other people answer. So some poskim hold that possibly, yeah, and many poskim hold that no. The Chazanish said that maybe yes, Moshe has Rav Salvech said maybe yes. That's why many shuls that make to read the Megillah over a loudspeaker. So Moshe says he doesn't think that it's proper l'chatchila to do it. But if they do it, look, so he says he doesn't think that it's worth making a fuss about. Because he thinks Yesh Lam Amisha you smoke. And other poskim think that there is definitely no good. What? How can it be? There's no. That's not the same rule. It's a different conversion.
Only with Shrek you have that problem.
Sometimes it's only a problem by Schaefer, and others time to know that it's not of all the code. That's a shot. That's a shot.
What should a person do if he goes to his voice and that person should he hold it around? You know, should he stop and roll? Should he be thinking it in his mind? No, no voice comes out. He had, I don't know,
yeah,
still taking it out or something.
Should always listen to the Chazan, the traditional answers. Should do like the Rambam, right? Could be in a hurry, right? The Gemara has like that later, and that's close. The Gemara says that a person is in a situation where he's unable to daven, he should be in a hurry and to daven. So the Gemara says, what did he accomplish? And if you say here, it's a Dibur, so we understand. But if you say here, a lot to do with that, what did he accomplish? The Gemara says, no, he accomplishes that, that at least he's thinking about the daven.
And he's in a place where, let's say, normally with the usher to daven, he just can't get away from it. If he had,
let's say, the kind of operation where he wouldn't be left out, should that person also be Mahara, not to anything
more? Yeah.
Would it be the same issue?
In
a place where you can't say the
deeper,
you shouldn't be able to think about leaving?
Yeah. The Mahara is not permitted to be Mahara, the Mahara is not permitted to be
Mahara. So such a person just couldn't
know? That's a question, what's the law? Let's say if a person is in a situation, let's say Machlokes HaPosken, let's say such a Chayla, the Achrayim didn't have such a situation. They had. The Goy used to imprison the Jews a lot of times, and they put the Jew in a dungeon, and it would be a dirty dungeon in a situation where you're not permitted to daven. So the Shabbos, he can be there for a couple of years, he's not going to daven at all. Because some pastors say that one is permitted to daven. Why? Ah, it's such an issue. The Gemara has an excuse saying that it's an issue to say divrei Torah, but to say tefillos and who are the offerings. So they say, no, the issue starts off as a mitzvah. Torah says that you have to clean out, you have to have Nikoyon Hamokam with Tfilon, Nikoyon Hamokam with Divretor. You have to clean out the room, clean out the place. It starts off as a mitzvah. And then, if you're able to clean out the room, and you don't, you're able to walk away. I won't clean up the mess, I'm going to go to a different room. So I can speak with her, I'll have Nikoyon Hamokam for Torah and Tfilon. So if I can, and I daven over here, and I learn over here, then I violate an Issa Chomer. And the Vaza the Tfilon, and the Vaza the Divretor. But if I have no breiris, I'm unable to fulfill the mitzvah of Vayim Achanach HaKadosh. Some poskim, a minority opinion among the poskim states, that then there's no issue at all to say Divrei Torah, even though it's a Mevuah Tam
HaKinah. Because we're wearing tefillin as well, then, so, the same poskim,
wearing tefillin, I don't think so. Wearing tefillin, the person is poskim. That's my person is a chayim. It's part of it. Chayim meyayim, the most. Chayim meyayim.
I'm saying it's like you said, jail, you know, Russia. It smells, you know, it's
right. The most of the fairies that's feeling that. But davening is a shan.
One of the things that they that people, the Kabbalists.
Right. That's the shadow, right? That's the shadow we're discussing. So some poskim say that since it's impossible for them to do anything about it, so they're permitted to daven. Cover up, yeah. If you can cover up with soy and meirag lions, and then well, Moshe is true. Let's say it's impossible to cover up. You have a reach rav, but then you have the shah. It's a serious shah. Yeah. So again, we have a brisa that one is not permitted to recite birchas hamazon to be mevarech birchas hamazon belibo, but b'diyevet if he does it is yotza. What does it mean belibo? So there's a machlokes between the Rambam against everybody else on the Pashtus. The Rambam interprets belibo kipshuto. Then lachatchila, one should not recite, one should not be maharer, b'riyeches hamazon in his mind, but b'riyevet, even though he doesn't pronounce the words at all, he would be yoitzik. That's how the Rambam learns. And all the other Rishonim learn like Rashi, they disagree, that belibo doesn't mean in his mind. Belibo means with fair, but he's not saying it loud enough that it should be mashmiliya. And then b'riyevet, one is yoitzik. The Ramban also makes the point of that. The Ramban, right out over here, the Ramban in Kiddushim says, we learned it last year. That's right. When we learned the second parak in Kiddushim, we learned the Gemara has a machlekes b'shama and b'shilel regarding the following din. A person is a shomer on a pikkudin. And so you give me a watch as a pikkudin. I should take care of it. No one should steal it and so on. And then I want to look well dressed up for a wedding or something, so I'm going to take your watch and wear it and go to the wedding with this diamond and golden watch, whatever. So that's called Shlichus Yad. So even though the watch doesn't break and nothing happens, I'm considered a gazlan. It's an avera to use the pikkudin, unless he gives me permission. But if he doesn't give, if the mafkir doesn't give permission to the shomer, so the shomer violates an avera of leisigzo by being shaveach yad the pikkudin, by using the pikkudin for his own purposes, the tzorchei atzmo. And not only does he violate the Avera Gzela, he's chayven on anything that will happen after this watch, he'll be held responsible because he did an act of Gzela. And the Gazan was chayven on until he does a Hashav, until he returns the watch back. What happens if he didn't do the gzela? What happens? He's thinking. He plans. He has a wedding tomorrow night. He's planning to wear that watch that he's not allowed to wear. He's planning to wear someone else's watch. So he worry about it. So it's a garnish. So the Gemara has a machlekes b'sham and b'sul. So b'sham is a chishev l'shleach yad b'pikadon is also called shlichas yad. And they learn it out in the pasuk. I call devar pesha. What do you mean? I call devar pesha. If he speaks about being shleach yad b'pikadon, so speaking, even if he never gets to do it, even if he never gets that. So the Ramban says, I'm not Gemara. Ramban and many Rishonim say the Ramban in Kiddushin says, I'm not Gemara. What does it mean? Chishev the shleach yad. He's thinking. No, thinking is not enough. If b'sham, I learn it. We don't pass on b'sham. Right. So machshava is not even b'sham. I don't hold machshava is called an act of shluchas yad. B'sham, only say I'll call the var pesha. If he speaks about, if he mentions it to somebody that he plans to wear this watch tomorrow, but if he doesn't even say it to anybody, he's just thinking in his own mind. There isn't even any dibur. So then b'sham would never say that chishev the shleach yad. So the Ramban says, but where do you find such an expression? Achoshev, and it means dibur. Chayshev means he's thinking. So the Ramban says, no, you find it all over the place. He says, that's biblical Hebrew and that's Talmudic Hebrew. So he quotes this Gemara. Belibo. Belibo is even more. Belibo means he shouldn't bench in his mind, and it doesn't mean that. It means he shouldn't bench reciting words, not being mashmili yazna. So belibo doesn't mean without any dibur. Then the Ramban says you have another Gemara. The Gemara says in Pesachim that min haTorah they didn't require that on Erev Pesach you have to be mevatel l'chomer. So the Gemara says you can be mevatel belibo b'daya. You can be mevatel belay. What do I mean belay? In your mind. But Rashi always says v'yomer, and you have to say kol chamir v'chamir v'ikav v'shusim. In Mishnah you have to say kol chamir. The Bavli says mevatel belibo. How do the two jive? So the Ramban says, no contradiction. Mevatel b'libo doesn't mean b'lei, b'machshava. Machshava is not enough. Here Rav Kadiba domi. Ramban says, mevatel b'libo means you have to say it, but you don't have to say it so loud that you should be mashmir liyozno. It's not necessary. B'libo means that you don't have to be mashmir liyozno. Here by benching l'chatchili, you should not be mevarach b'libo. L'chatchili should bench so loud that you should be mashmir liyozno. But b'rieved yoytzei, if it was b'libo, means you were not mashmir liyozno. And thereby kol chamiris, and ishken mitzvah, so thereby kol chamiris, it's enough if the person makes the amira, even though he's not mashmir liyozno. That's how the Ramban says.
Does any of this emphasizing
loud enough to do with the dibarta bomb? From the dibarta bomb, the Gemara derives, right at the end of the third paragraph of Chok, the Gemara derives that hirhu lav kedibu domi. That's how we pass them. But hirhu, you're not yoytzei. If you just think in your mind, you're not yoytzei. Because you need dafka amira.
Maybe you can say Achille, because if you say it, even if you don't hear it, you can say
Achille,
maybe there's a lip reader or something like that. So he
can
actually read what you say, even if he doesn't hear it. That would make a big difference.
Okay.
Now,
look, it doesn't distinguish, maybe that's the reason. Okay.
The other way around, if he thought to
give
a
nether,
isn't he obligated to give it?
The Gemara says that if it's a nether, it's dokeh. A nether, it's dokeh, if he really made up his mind. He really made up his mind that he's going to give X amount of money. Let's say if the one is making the appeal, is making a very strong appeal, and then the person gets all excited and he's thinking, how much will I give? Maybe I'll give $1,000, maybe I'll give $100, maybe I'll give $500, maybe I'll give $10. It keeps on changing from one amount to the other. Then you don't say, well, he thought maybe he's going to give $1,000, he has to give $1,000. He was thinking, maybe. He didn't make up his mind to Vadai. But if he really made up his mind, he's going to give Tak $1,000, even though he didn't say the fair, then it is obligatory. Then the halacha is that a neder tzedakah is chal b'lev. The shaila is why. The Gemara says that all the dharma have to be pronounced. The pasuk in Vayikra, Parashas Vayikra says, nefesh ki seshava levata bisvasam, you have to pronounce a neder or a shvua with your lips. So the Gemara says, chal yotze mipiv, only what you pronounce. If you don't pronounce it now.
If one is not decided just the way you explained now, he's not decided, and yet,
if he says, If he says, then it's befet. Then befet is fakam. Then it's tight. But if it's only belave, right? But if it's only belave, then the halacha is that he's just thinking in his mind and he's not sure how much he wants to give yet. Then it's not. Then it's not called the goma belave.
The latch, if he was given the latch to watch over, speak to the latch, that is the best. It is a hand. and he goes with it. Whatever throws, why is he so cut?
Okay, the Gemara discusses that. If he does something that's litzorcha, you will litzorcha. He does something that's litzorcha pikadon, it's a good shmira for the pikadon, but it's also good for him. So the Gemara discusses, is that good or not? Gemara says, maybe the people will give an ayinpara, people will see that he's wearing it.
He wants to sell the watch, so he wants his advertisement. Maybe it's good if you show it around.
So, there could be it's not a shlichas yad. In that case, could be it's not a shlichas yad. Gemara discusses that. Maybe it's not because of the reason that you time. That's possible. Here, the Gemara points out this halacha that in a dorim we normally require bitos for signs. Only kalayetzim and piviyasa, whatever the person pronounced with his lips. If he doesn't say with his lips, it's not chal. However, we have a pasuk that if a person is magdish, an animal, as a korban, so we have a pasuk in Dirayam and Kol Nadiv Lei Vayla Seviyah. If a person is magdish a korban belibo, so then the korban is chal. So from that pasuk, the Rishonim extended that it also applies to tainis. If a person is makabel tainis belibo. And other Rishonim go further, they say it also applies to tzedakah. If a person decides that he wants to give a certain amount of tzedakah, he's really gama believer, not stam, he's thinking, maybe yeah, maybe no. He's toying with the idea now. He's really gama believer, means he really made up his mind, even though he never pronounced it with his lips. So nidrei tainis achal b'machshove, nidrei tzedakah achal b'machshove. And then a group of Rishonim extended to all nidrei mitzvah. If a person made up his mind, he's going to do a good deed, a good, any good act, a good minik toiv, so all minhagim toivim are binding the machshava mitam this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kol nadiv leivay leseviu," that if you're magdish a carbon be machshava, the kedushas hakarbon is chal. Although normally we require lebatei b'sversai, every neder ishvah has to be pronounced with the lips. So the answer is no. When it comes to nidrei mitzvah, the chal be machshava. That's how we machmir. The only nidrei mitzvah chal be machshava.
The pasuk tainus is nadiv leivay. And if it is late, then it has to be a
bigger society. No. Nadiv late means without.
But he cannot hear himself.
No, even without. No, the Gemara in Shavuos understands kol nadiv late voilos means even without a bitus hasayim at all. Not that there was a bitus hasayim, but not mashmili ozim. The Gemara says that it means there wasn't even any bitus hasayim at all.
But here we are learning it.
Right. Here the word belave is assumed to mean differently. Right. Here it means to speak, but not loud enough to be mashmili ozim. So this Ramban, getting back to the Ramban, Ramban Kiddushin quotes this price that Hamavarach Bich Hamazin Belibo, he says, and this Gemara doesn't mean like Rashi. It doesn't mean believe like the Rambam learns. It means like Rashi learned that he's pronouncing the word, but not loud enough to be Mashmili Ozno. Then the Ramban says that is the same shot in the Beetle Believe Sagi. The Gemara says that when you mevatel lechometz, you can be mevatel belev, and the Ramban says it doesn't mean belev. The halacha requires, like the Yerushalmi says, you have to say kol chamira vechamira. So why does the Gemara say bitul belev? So the Ramban explains belev means that there isn't even a requirement lechatchila to say the kol chamira loud enough to be mashmili ozma. Then the Ramban continues and he quotes that Mishnah in Bav Metzia. That's what he talks about. The original line in the Ramban is on the Mishnah in Bav Metzia, where Beishamai say chishev neshleach yabe bikadon. Is not all of Gaza, so we don't pass like Beishamai, but what did Beishamai mean? So he says, Chishev doesn't mean Hamachashev is thinking. It means Chishev means that he spoke to someone, he mentioned it to somebody, because the pasuk that Beishamai learned out from is the pasuk that says, I'll call Rav Pesha. Call Rav Pesha, I'll debrush Shal Pesha, speaking about cheating, speaking about stealing. When the Shema speaks about being Shalech Yabba B'Shem, so when he talks about it, he's really not all of Gaza. And then the Rishonim shall through the pasuk in Chumash by Pigul. That the Torah speaks of a kohen doing and making someone else's carbon pigul, loy choshev loy. He has a machsheves pigul. The kohen shechts the carbon, or he does the kabbalah sadam or the halacha sadam, having in mind to eat part of the carbon next week, or to be zerg the dam of the carbon tomorrow. And many rishonim say, Rashi places in the Rashi, many rishonim say that when you speak of machsheves pigul, it doesn't mean machsheve, it means dibur. I said, why does it say machsheve? I said, because you don't need achshmieli oznam. There we don't require Mashmili Yazda. By Kriyashma, Rabbi Yezi says, if you're not Mashmili Yazda, you're not Yetzir a Mitzvah. But by Pigul, we're not talking about a Mitzvah. The Shaila is, did the carbon become possible or not? So it says, Machshev is Pigul possible, means an Amira Pigul, even if it was not Mashmili Yazda, will make it possible.
By Shabbos, it's not that way. He's thinking of hiring somebody after Shabbos. Pigul Asta,
you're what? Yeah, that's Mutter, right? Yeah. Same, sir. So here are Lav Kedibudam, you're right. The same over there also. Here who is Lav Kedibudam? But if he speaks about it, then it's awesome. Because the pasuk only forbids the gabbai
dov. He can't have the divo that mashmir also, no? So there is no... we're saying here that mashama means lo mashmir also, the libo.
Right, and the context of
Rav Yom Tov... that won't work either. It has to be... You have to say
out loud. Somebody else or
right.
So there
it doesn't even mean that either.
Well, we have a Mishnah Meratzah who work in Sidrash Meratzah. We don't say Chish of the Gemara. We say Meratzah of the Gemara. Do you see that the Lira is important thing also? That's Kinyon of
I think we would pass for even Machshava the Hekish by Karbon is for sure. The Pasuk, the original Pasuk, the Bar Yam speaks about a Karbon oil, the Kol Nadiv Leivoy for the year. But the Mishnah that says Amirasa Lagavai means I want to give a Shas to the Beit Medrash. So we pass for even Machshava would also be Chav. Not only by Karbon,
here you see
Mira,
that means Machshava. Sometimes you have Machshava, which means a Mira.
Right? The words are used interchangeably, right? So you have to figure out in each case, based on the context, what the correct meaning is.
If it's called a Bikurim, you'd have to really say it to the Kohen, and the Kohen would have to say it.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be Yosef with Bikurim.
Right, that's for sure. Right. By Bikurim, they have to say loud enough that the people should hear. Yeah, the Kol Rom, Bikurim, most of the Gemara has a din of Kol Rom.
So we really don't have a hard and fast way by just taking the word and blow.
Right.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Last week's question
was
about
how compromise
here. I'm not sure.
That's an Abeir of Midas. Right. The whole Abeir is an Abeir of Midas
wrong. Right. So there, there's no winning of Masha. I mean,
he
just did it, just thinking of it.
Yeah.
So we're not punished for that, are we?
Yeah.
Are we punished for Masha's for us?
Where the machshava itself is the averus of any person.
Such as what?
Where's the Sisaveh? Abu Mizariah, or let's Turaqah and Abu Machanadeh, and there that's the actual aver itself. Although Sisaveh, the person desires something.
Who means to think? What means to
think? Aqua the Bachelor, just to think how aver is an aver.
And what
about
the deepest
moment
if one is not home?
No, they're a dinim. If he left, it depends. If he left his home within 30 days before Pesach, so he has to be very common before, unless he doesn't plan to come back to left the Pesach. There are all kinds of dinim in the Shulchan
Aruch. If one knows what he's going to do in 30 days,
If he leaves before 30 days before Pesach, and he doesn't think he's going to come back before the end of Pesach, then the din is he doesn't have to be very common. But then he comes back on Erev Pesach. He has to be very common on Erev Pesach. That's where he comes down. Unless
he doesn't have to go back.
Then he just says Kol Hamir or Bahamir.
Whatever he is, then he's
just says the Bitwacham. So Limar quotes a price. Lo Yavarachan Bechazan Mazen Belibo. It's not proper in the Hatkhila to be Mavarach Benshin Belay. It means unless he's Mashmur Yazna. But the Yevit Vindire. But if he does have Birchas Hamaz and Belev, he's not Mashmur Yazan as Yot. So the Gemara says, Mani, which Tana does the Braisa follow? It's Lai Rav Yosef, Lai Rav Yehuda. It doesn't follow any sheep. The Rav Yehuda, if it follows Rav Yehuda's opinion, Hamel Lachatchila Nami Yot. Rav Yehuda holds that even Lachatchila you don't have to have Mashmur Yazan. The Rav Yosef, the Gemara argues, and if it follows Rav Yosef's opinion in the Mishnah, that the Yevid Nami Lo, even the Yevid Rav Yosef holds he not Yot. And how come here it says that he yotze the benching even if loy mishmir yozna? So it must be that we misunderstood Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says ela my Rav Yehuda b'diyeved en lachatchila loy. It must be that Rav Yehuda's shita is that lachatchila he also agrees with Rav Yehuda. You have to have mashmir yozna, but b'diyeved he yotze benching b'diyeved he yotze kriyashma apok yishalo he mishmir yozna, but lachatchila you do need it. So the Gemara says, but we have another braisa that confuses us. Ela, the Gemara says on the second wide line. Now the Hadith of Rabbi Yehuda Ben Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, we have another brayso that reads as follows: Cheresh, Amadaber Ve'Eino Shemeiach, a person who is deaf but is able to speak, is Torah in Lachatchila. There's nothing wrong with him being Machrish Truma Lachatchila. Why? I bet he has to say the bracha, so he'll say the bracha. I bet he won't be Mashmir Yazna. So apparently there is a Tana. He quotes a brayso There is a Tana. This Rav Yudah Grei Rav Shimon Ben Pazi is not the author of the Tana. He's the one who's reciting this Braisa. He's not a Tana. Tani Rav Yudah Grei Rav Shimon Ben Pazi, he's reciting a Braisa that says, quotation mark, Cheresh Amidah, Vene Shemet, Torah Lachatchila. So you see that there's no problem of Bracha, because you don't even need Lachatchila, Ashi Ashmir Liyazni. So the Gemara said, so who is that? Mani? Whose opinion is that? Lay Rav Yudah, Lay Rav Yudah. The way we just explained, it doesn't follow anybody. Here Rav Yudah, we just said, Hama Lachatchila Rav Yudah agrees, you have to be Mashmir Liyazni. But yeah, but then Lachatchila Loi. It just proved based on the price of the benching, that Rav Yudah also agrees, Lachatchila, you have to be Mashmir Liyazni. And if it's Rav Yosi's opinion, ignore it so far, I think there are only two Tanoim in the world who have anything to say about this matter. Either Rav Yudah or Rav Yosi. Nobody else exists. Either you follow Rav Yudah or follow Rav Yosi. I was going to say there are many more Tanoim who have more opinions to say. I'm going to quote a Braisa here and a Braisa there. We're going to get to more Braisa. First, ignore it, there are only two Tanoim. So they ask, who is this Braisa that it's Mutal Lahatchila for the deaf person to be Mafrish Tumah with a Brach? If it's Rav Yudah, he just said he agrees Lahatchila, you have to be Mashmir Yosna. If it's Rav Yosi, he holds even with the Yedit not. Even you're not yet to the brachas. How can you say that the deaf person is permitted to be mafresh tumah lachatchila, but he will be mafresh without a bracha? He won't be yet to the mitzvah of reciting the bracha. And in the yoyim, we have to revert back to the pshat that we said before. The yoyim must be Rabbi Yehuda. This brisa that says that you're permitted to be mafresh tumah, even the deaf person is permitted to be mafresh tumah lachatchila, is Rabbi Yehuda Shimon. But we had another braisa that said, Lechatchila you need Mashmir Liyazna, but B'riyevit not. We don't know whose opinion that is. It's not Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says, B'riyevit, it's no good. The answer is, that's also Rabbi Yudah. How can Rabbi Yudah say two contradictory things? On the one hand, Rabbi Yudah says that Lechatchila you have to be Mashmir Liyazna. On the other hand, he says you don't even have to be Mashmir Liyazna Lechatchila. So Gemara says there are two versions. One is Rabbi Yudah's own opinion, one is Rabbi Yudah in the name of his Rebbe. So Gemara is already introducing a third time. The Gemara says, everything is Rabbi Yudah. The Loi Kashid is not a contradiction. Hardy Day, Hardy Rabbe. One is his own opinion, and one is his Rebbe's opinion. The Tanya is a misprint. Should say, the Tanya, you have a Brisa. There's not a Mishnah found anywhere. The Brisa reads, Rabbi Yudah, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. The Tana, Rabbi Yudah. That's Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Yudah, the Tana quotes in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. HaKoris HaShma, Tzorch Shi HaShmil, Yoznov Shememar. Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKel Hashem HaChok. So Shema means to be Mashmir Liyazna. So Rav Yudah says in the name of Rav Loza ben Azariah that Lahatchila. Tzorech means Lahatchila usually. Usually Tzorech just means Lahatchila. It doesn't mean that it's Miyakib Liyev. Usually the mean. So Rav Yudah quotes in the name of Rav Loza ben Azariah that you don't require the Mashmir Liyazna. And Rav Yudah's own opinion, he disagrees with his Rebbe. Rav Yudah's own opinion is that you don't even require Lahatchila Shiyashmir Liyazna. Now the Gemara continues the quotation from the Braisa. Omalei Rav Meir, so Rav Meir disagreed with Rav Yudah in quoting his Rebbe. And he says, how can he require Lechatchila Sheyashmir Liyaznav Harehu Oimer, the Pasuk says in Kriyashma, Asher Amechem Tzadcha Hayom Ma'alavon Recho, that you should be Mahara, the Iker is just to have in mind, you don't even have to be Mashmir Liyaznav. Aha Kavanas Halev, Hein Hein Advar. Rav Meir says that you don't even require Lechatchila Sheyashmir Liyaznav. So the Gemara leaves off at this point, and you have two versions of Rav Yudah. You have Rav Yudah's own opinion, and Rav Yudah in the name of his Rebbe. His Rebbe, that you do require Sheyashmir Liyazna. What forced us to say that? Because we had an anonymous Braisa. We had a Braisa that had no name tacked onto it. We had a Braisa that has no... Atana says... Lechatchila, you have to bench Birchas HaMazon Sheyashmir Liyazna, and B'riyevit you yaitze without it. Then we had another anonymous, we had two anonymous braises. One anonymous braise said, it's muta lechatchila for the deaf man to be mafresh tumah. his Rebbe that you do require Shigash Mubiyogma. What forced us to say that? Because we had an anonymous Braise. We had a Braise that had no name tacked onto it. We had a Braise that has no... Atana says, Lechatchile, you have to bench Brichas HaMazon Shigash Mubiyogma. And B'dayevet Yeyetze without it. Then we had another anonymous... We had two anonymous Braises. One anonymous Braise said, it's Mutal Lechatchile for the deaf man to be Makash Trumah. Ah, you have to say a bracha when you mafresh truma. So obviously that bracha is of the opinion that mutar lachatchila to recite a bracha without being mashmir liyazna. And the other anonymous bracha said that lachatchila you have to be mashmir liyazna, but it's not miyakin. So these two anonymous brachas are obviously both not following Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that the idea of mashmir liyazna is ma'akin b'riyebet. So either it's Rabbi Yossi, or if it's not Rabbi Yossi, it has to be Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara thought of it, there's only one other time is Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, you have two brises, both, two anonymous brises, both following Rabbi Yehuda. It's a contradiction. The Gemara said, yeah, one is Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, one is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe, and he disagrees with his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, and where do you see Rabbi Yehuda says anything in the name of his Rebbe? So they quoted a brise. And then once they quoted the brise, they quoted the last line in the brise where Rabbi Meir appears. So the Gemara says, Ashtadot, it's Lahachi. On the second very wide line.
What should Rabbi Yehuda do with the person that cannot say it? He's got the
if he can't say or if he's deaf and he can't hear, Rabbi Yehuda says he's not Yotzi. He says not Mechuyiv. He's Potter from Krishna. That's what he says. Potter from Krishna. Yeah. The Shaila is maybe he should be Mehara the Kriya Shema like the Mishnah says later on Daf Chav. That even a Hirur Latki Dibur Dami. But the proper thing is to be Mahara Krishna, to be Mekabal al-Malchus Haim, even though you're not Yetzir, the Mitzvah of Krishna with. So Mustami here also, the deaf person who, according to Rabbi Yossi, is Potter from Krishna. Because he can't be Yetzir, because you're not Yetzir Krishna unless you're Mashmili Yosno. According to Rabbi Yossi, so Mustami he would say, even though he can't be Yetzir, but let him be Mahara, the ideas of Krishna. Mustami Rabbi Yossi would agree to that. So now the Gemara says, we had a contradiction between two anonymous brises. And we thought by a process of elimination, we figured they must be both following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because neither of the brises can be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says no, and then the Gemara was forced into assuming Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with his Rebbe, which is nothing unusual, but we really had no proof to assume like that. So the Gemara says no. Now that we know that there's a third Tana involved in this Machlekes, we have Rabbi Meir Beferish. Hashtadoas is Lehochli. Now that you've arrived at this point, that you have another Tana, another source, so you don't have to say that the two anonymous brises are both Rabbi Yehuda. We know clearly both of them are not, neither of them is Rabbi Yehuda, but you don't have to say they're both Rabbi Yehuda. Say one is Rabbi Yehuda and one is Rabbi Meir. Afilu Tamei Rabbi Yehuda ki Rabbi Sirulei. You can even assume, you can even say, Afilu Tamei, you can even say, Rabbi Yehuda ki Rabbi Sirulei. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with his Rebbe. That what? That lachatchili need Ashi Ashmi Liyazim B'diavid, it's not Miyakev. And the other brisa that says you don't even need Shiashmir Yazna Lahatzila, that's Rav Meir Shita. V'loi Kasher, there's no contradiction between the two anonymous brises. Harav Meir, Harav Yud, Shoy. Okay, so the Vekitzer Amaisa, what does it come out? It doesn't really matter, leave out the names. There are three opinions among the Tanaim regarding any mitzvah of Kriya. Which mitzvahs are Kriya? So far we have Kriya Shema, we have Birchas HaMazon, and we have a Bracha, all Bracha. Bracha on Hafrashas Trum and a bracha on anything. Any bracha, any mitzvah samira, kiddush, avdolah, berachas hamazon, davening, anything. If the person recites it and he's not mashmir liyazna, what's the din? So there are three opinions. One opinion is that lachatchila you have to be mashmir liyazna b'diavad, if you're not mashmir, you're yotze. That's how we pass. Then there's another opinion that even lachatchila you don't need mashmir liyazna. Then there's a third opinion that even b'diavad, you do require achi mashmir liyazna.
We have a cloud, like the Shmir Dona Maria. Why should you do some of the Bria? If you have a star voice, you might say, and that's it.
That's a different thing.
Somebody who can't say it, he should.
But Tishmik Dunri is by Yadis, yeah. The Yadim tell all the Bezin what happens. So Bezin sort themselves.
Here, and if somebody can't talk, because he's. So he should be able to look at the Brucha and see it and read it with his eyes, and that should be almost equivalent.
That's not called like Tishmik Dunri, yeah?
All right, but the Riyah should be a...
Shmir means if it's second-hand information, no.
Don't apply that column.
It means that first-hand information is better than second-hand information. If I saw it myself, it's better than if the witnesses tell me what happened. I saw it myself.
So if I see the book, why should it be just as good as if I...
Because the mitzvah is not to see, the mitzvah is to say. The mitzvah is the mitzvah of Amira. And Hiru, I say Bimahara, so the Gemara says, Hiru is Lav Kediba Dami Bipas. Hiru is not Yetzi the mitzvah. Now the Gemara quotes another source. All the Hemshech of the same story. Another mitzvah that requires Amira, And the issue that we're going to discuss is if the person is unable to be Mashmir Yoznov, is he Yotze B'Yevet? But now the Gemara is not going to discuss is he Yotze. The Gemara is going to discuss can he be Yotze Yos? The new twist, can he be Yotze Yos? A deaf person is going to read the Megillah for the people who are able to hear. So we have a klal that a katan before bar mitzvah cannot be the bal tekeya. The katan before bar mitzvah cannot do a make kiddush to be mitzvah to those who are past bar mitzvah. Why call me shenim chuli b'dover? Ain't a mitzvah achera b'derchei vosh. Mishnah says at the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah that you only say shemeh koina. Shemeh koina means when one person says kiddush and I listen. And I say Amen, so I'm Yotze with his Kiddush. So that's only if he's Mechuyev in Kiddush. But if he's a Kotni, he's not Mechuyev in Mitzvah, before Bar Mitzvah, he's a Goy. A Goy, it's a Chesgalan to say the Kiddush. So if he says the Kiddush, I'm not Yotze. Even if I say Amen, I'm not Yotze. You're only Yotze if the one who's reciting the Bracha, the one who's reading the Megillah, is the Bar Chiyuv. So the Mishnah is going to discuss what the Halacha is, the Bal Korei is deaf. Or the Bal Tekeya. Same thing, what if the Bal Tekeya is deaf? What if the Bal Tekeya is deaf? What's that loss? Different, better or worse?
Worse, better.
Why is it better?
Because the whole ending of the Shmir. So, but he's the Shmir.
I mean, it's worse. It's a more serious shot. I mean, a deaf person should zicha be part of Chavkiya Sheva. Even if he's going to blow himself, even if he'll be the Bal Tekeya, he can't be Yotze. But if he reads the Megillah, then maybe if he reads himself, he is Yotze, even though he doesn't hear. He's deaf. All right, we'll see. Well, let's keep in mind, as we learn this Gemara, the following Shaila. The Avnei Nezer has a tshuva, which is going to paskin based on which line in the Gemara. The Gemara has here a Chiddush Nifla, not found anywhere else in Shas. That opens up the psak for this shaila. What if the Bal Tekeya is not deaf? He can hear, but he puts cotton in his ears. So he puts in earplugs and he can't hear anything right now. He can't hear anything. But he's able to hear. He's a bar chiyuva. He's past bar mitzvah. He's able to hear. No, let's say if the Bal Tekeya has in mind, he's blowing shofar by the old age home first, and then he's going to go to shul, and then he wants to be yotze later. So then he can be yotze the other people first. Because he's a mechuyev b'dover. Right now he's not being yotze. So that's the same as yotze yotze. What if the Bal Tekeya already was the Yotze Tekeya Shofar? So the din is that he can blow again to be Mitzi other people who are not Yotze. But right now he's not Mechuyev B'Dover. So the Gemara says, no, but today he was Mechuyev in Tekeya Shofar. So the Paskim say Beferish, not only Yotze Mitzi, if the Bal Tekeya already was Yotze before, he can blow again. What if he wasn't Yotze yet? He blows Shofar now and he has a mind not to be Yotze himself. He just wants to be Mitzi the Tzibur. And he plans to be blow shofar later, I'll say that brachas. Right. So the poskim say it's the same thing as Yotze Moitz. The same thing. No, but here's a new shayla. Here's an additional shayla. He puts in something in his ear and he can't hear the tekiyas at all. So does that prevent the tzibur from being Yotze tekiyas shofar?
Well, depends why you set the clause. Why
did he put his
status?
Was he still,
you know, he would have to be Mechuyev. He still is Mechuyev. Offhand, that's what anybody in his right mind would say. Until you learn this Gemara. You learn this Gemara, you're going to come up with a big kiddush.
If you say that you give both among these and here they might not be
Yotze,
it's okay. He can blow on three places,
right.
And he doesn't have to be Yotze.
Right.
So what reason does it make at that particular time if he's not himself,
right,
that he has the cotton in his ears. Oh,
so the shot is maybe it's worse because right now he's not listening. So the shot is so what? So what if he's not listening but the other people are listening? What does he have to listen?
He's not here to listen actually in all the cases.
Right.
It's not for him, right.
That's what I would have said also, that's what he said, that's what everybody would say. So we have to learn the Gemara to see that it's not so. We'll have to see it. We'll have to see. The Gemara is going to have a chiddush. The Gemara is going to give a new uptight of what pshat is in Shemea Koina. Shemea Koina is a new pshat.
But the three cases before that he can blow for other people and not for himself, that is...
That's a Beferish Adin. That's okay. But each time that he blows for the other minion, he has to be listening himself. He doesn't have to have a mind to be Yotze. He can have a mind Beferish not to be Yotze. He wants to be Yotze later, the third minion, the fourth minion, whatever. But he has to be listening when he's blowing shofar. No, we'll see from this Gemara, he has to be listening actually.
How could he tell if he's blowing it properly if he isn't?
He learned how to blow shofar years before.
The vibrations, he could feel the vibrations.
On the other hand, how can he blow, make a blower, listen, and not being it?
No, so that's the halacha. Just like we say yotze moitze, if he already was yotze, he already blew shofar and shul. So he can blow a second time for the people who are not yotze. So he can blow first to be moitze them, and then to blow later on for himself. The post can say that's the same as yotze moitze.
What after what you said the other week, you said if you make kiddush Friday night and then you write the song, she should say it along with you because, you know, maybe you're not supposed to hear
it. I didn't say she should say it along. I said the note of the Yehuda has a wild chumrah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, and most all the other posts can say it's not so, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes this wild chumrah from the Yehuda, from the Dog and Rebbe, that the wife should say along the middle part of the kiddush.
So right? What's better to do? I thought it would be better for her to make this song. I should just stand there. And you say, no, I should just say it again, and it's okay. I'm saying on Friday night, right? I made Kiddush. For some reason, I made a prayer on the shul, or...
No, the husband has to recite Kiddush again. He's not yet in shul, because that Kiddush led him up in Sudah. But the husband is going to Kiddush Midaraisa in shul. Yeah. Kiddush is not understood as only needed Midarabah.
Well, and Kiddush is a sukkah, but she hasn't heard it yet because the only sukkah is in shul, so now I'm going to go home. And, you know, something didn't happen. Now I'm going to go home and now I tell her, make your own Kiddush. But he's saying, no, it's okay to make Kiddush again.
No. I mean, in that case, the husband is not going to say Kiddush for himself at all, just for the wife.
No, I made Kiddush. I ate the sukkah.
You were yet there already.
I'm upset. Now I go home. She's sitting
there. So now the thing is that if the wife doesn't know how to say Kiddush, she's unable to, she's going to make a lot of mistakes. And the thing is Yotza, even though the husband is ready, was Yotza, he can repeat the Kiddush again on behalf of anybody who does know how. But if the person knows how to make his own Kiddush, then let the person make his own Kiddush. Is it her own Kiddush? So now the Gemara quotes an additional source. Tanan Hossam, three lines from the bottom. We have a Mishnah Megillah. Hakol Ksherim, Likra says HaMegillah. Anybody can be the Baal Koreh to read the Megillah as long as he's a Mechuyim B'Dover. Whether he's a great scholar, a Kohen, a Levi, a Yisrael, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the Yichus is. Chutz, except for Acher Yishar to the Kot. If he's Acher Yishar to the Kot, and so he's not Mechuyim in the Mitzvah, then he's not Mechuyim B'Dover. But there's a hitch over here. What do you mean Acherish? Whenever we speak of Acherish in the Gemara, Acherish means Sheinu Shemeh Veinu Medaber. So if Sheinu Medaber, that could be the Baal Koreh. So obviously we're not talking about Acherish or Dibur HaChomim or Chomor Kamsi. We're not talking about Acherish that means retarded, Alpidin. Acherish means a retarded person. And there's Mana Gemara, Acherish Sheinu Shemeh Veinu Medaber. A deaf mute was unable to educate him, it would be retarded. We're talking about a normal person who is a Bardas. The shaita taka means deranged, and the cotton means that he's not bar mitzvah. So the shaita and the cotton, Allah b'nei chayuvin in him. So that's why they can't be the Baal Koreh, because ain't a mechuy b'dover, ain't a mechuy b'dover. But the cherish is talking hamadaber, ain't a shemesh, just deaf. That's what it means. The cherish means, like in modern Hebrew, the cherish means a deaf person. So a deaf person, what's wrong? Why can't he read the Megillah?
What's the issue on the shaita?
No, it's not an issue. It's just the shaita is not mechuyev in any mitzvahs. Is it not a bar das? Shaita means that he's deranged. No, even if he knows, but he thinks he's achashverish. He thinks he's mordechai. Whatever. He knows faket. He's Esther. He's Esther. He wrote the Megillah. He knows all about it. Chacham is shugged him, right? So he's deranged. A woman is a machlokes whether a woman can read the Megillah to be mitzi men. That's a machlokes. And Shulchan Aruch they're machmer. Then they quote from the Zohar that a woman shouldn't even shaila whether a woman should read the Megillah to be mitzi other women. Shaila and so the Mishnah says that a cheresh, a person who's deaf, cannot be the Baal Koreh for the Kriyas HaMegillah. So the shaila is why not? What's wrong? We'll leave that for the Mimar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda has we're leaving out a significant issue here, whether cotton can be the Baal Koreh or not. We'll leave it out just temporarily. We'll get back to it next week. So the Gemara asks, Man Tana Cheresh B'Di'evid, Nami Loi. Who is the Tana who says that the Cheresh, a deaf person, is not Mechuyev B'Dover, not Mechuyev in Kriyas HaMegillah? Why is he not Mechuyev? Let him read the Megillah, and he'll read all the words, and he won't hear what he's saying. So he'll be Yotze Kriyas HaMegillah. So it must be the Mishnah follows Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that if you're going to read and you won't hear it, you're not Mashmir Yazni and Abin Yotze B'Di'evid, so So if you're not able to be Yetzir B'Dyeved, then you're not Mechuyev B'Dovah. You are unable to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat HaMegillah because you're deaf. Because we require Atri Hashmi and Yozma. So if you're unable, so you're Pachter from the mitzvah. So if you're Pachter, then you can't be the Baal Korei to lane for other people. So that's what the Gemara says. Mantana, whose opinion is it? Echerish B'Dyeved Nami Lor, that if the deaf person is the Baal Korei, nobody's Yetzir B'Dyeved, Omer Abmasa Rabbi Yesihi, must be Rabbi Yesihi Disnan, as we learned in our Mishnah. First, Hashma V'la Hashmi and Yozma Yotzer Div Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yossi Emeloi Yatzer. Rabbi Yossi says that if you're not Mashmir Yosnov, you're not even Yotze B'Dyeved. So must read that it's Rabbi Yossi.
Why didn't he equate the Megillah with Mishnah?
In which way should they have distinguished, for better or for worse? No, the Rambam does distinguish. The Rambam passes against this Gemara. But in which direction? Better or worse?
Shema should be touched like that, but the Megillah should not be Mishmir.
That's Taisus Kasha. By Shema we have a Pasuk Hashma Liyaznaha. But by Kriyas HaMegillah there is no Pasuk. So what did the Gemara come in the first place to say that Rabbi Yossi's opinion should apply to Megillah? So the Gemara seems to assume, the Gemara later on will quote others who disagree on our base, but the Gemara at this point assumes that the Pasuk Shema is not only a local din in Hilchas Kriya Shema, it's a din in Hilchas Dibur and Kala Tarakula. And whenever you need the Dibar Tabam, Shema Hashma Liyaznaha is the uptight of a Dibar. But if you're not Mashmir Yaznov, that's otherwise what did the Gemara shtel to benching? How did the Gemara shtel to the broch on Truma? You can ask the same shayla there. That's well, the fact that there exists.
Benching is the right.
But let's say the broch on our precious Truma. So the answer is at this point, the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Yossi's Pasuk, Hashmal Yaznacha, is a din, an optaichin the Dibarta bum. The Dibarta means you need Dibur, and Hirur is not good. And Hashma Liyaznacha is the definition of Dibur. If you're not Mashmi Liyaznacha, then we label it as Hirur, and Hirur is Latke Diburdam. The Rambam distinguishes in the other direction, though. The Rambam paskins that by Kriyashma, and by Birchas HaMazon, and by Brachas, you can be Yotzei without Mashmi Liyaznacha, and by Kriyas HaMegillah, he paskins like the Mishnah, that a deaf person cannot be Yotzei Kriyas HaMegillah, even if he reads the Megillah himself, because he can't hear. By Megillah, the Rambam paskins, you do need Mashmir Yozna against our Gemara. He paskins apparently like the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi doesn't have this whole thing. But he leaves out the whole Bavli. He says that even though Legabi Kriyeshma, we do not accept Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The Gemara says we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. But Legabi Megillah, we do. Why? So when I say Kalim on the Rambam, the commentary said the Rambam requires Pirsumi Nisa by Kriyas on Megillah. He means the Pirsumi Nisa, so what's wrong? No. So if he doesn't read the Megillah, then the Gemara says all over, Pesumi Nisa, so what? So the Rambam is a Knechus Asvar over here, that if you don't read the Megillah loud enough that you yourself should hear, felt this in Pesumi Nisa. Shmach Asvar, the Gemara over here says not so. The Rambam paskins against this Gemara. So that's what the Gemara suggests at this point, that the Mishnah in Megillah that says that the deaf person cannot be the Baal Korei to read the Megillah follows Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that since he's deaf he cannot be Mashmir Yoznov, and if he cannot be Mashmir Yozim, then he's unable to fulfill the mitzvah. If he's unable, so he's Rahman HaPatris, he's Potter from the mitzvah. If he's Potter from the mitzvah, so he's Eina Mechuy Bedover, he's Eina Moitzi Achei Medei Choy Vost. There are a lot of assumptions here. We're going to have to discuss all this. So just like that, because he's honest, because he's honest, he's deaf, so therefore he's Potter from the mitzvah. That's what it means, he's Potter. That's what the Gemara assumes. Linnea will have to discuss it next week. Then the Gemara continues to give another pshat. The Gemara says, no, you can say the Mishnah Megillah follows Rabbi Yudah's opinion. And then we get to the case, that's the Chiddush. What if the person blows shofar and he has plugs in his ear and he doesn't hear the tkiyas? So the Gemara Kamat B'Feirah says over here that the other people are not Yotze. The other people are not only that he's not Yotze, he doesn't want to be Yotze. The Tzibur is also not Yotze. A wild Gemara, we'll have to read it slowly. What? Serious Shaila, we'll have to talk. But what about Kriyas HaTorah? Not Kriyas HaMegillah. What about Kriyas HaTorah? That's a serious Shaila. Can a deaf person be the Baal Korei for Kriyas HaTorah?
What about Sulu?
Dayan Grossman has a tshuva on that. Dayan Grossman used to be from London, has a tshuva where he's Makel. And Rav Soloveitchik was masking with him that it's good.
Suma, what is it?
Yeah.
When he knows about Rosh.
No. Yeah, Krishna you can say, that's not a problem. In the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us part of the description of Maimon Har Sinai, what was going on. Part is described in Parshas Yisroel, part is described in Parshas Mishpatim. So the Torah tells us that on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch required of Bnei Yisrael that they should bring Olos and Shlomim, two sets of Korbanos. The Gemara has a suffix in Chagigah, in the first parak, how to read this pasuk. Vayishlachas na'ar b'nei Yisrael vayalu olos, semicolon, vayizbuchu zvachim shlomim l'ashem parim, that the shlomim were parim, but the olos, it doesn't say whether they were parim or eglim, or no, that the parim goes on both olos and on shlomim. The Gemara says, chaptanach kemina, how you should lay in the trop over here. The trop would change depending on whether what parim goes on the first pair of the pasuk or the second one. But somehow there was a halach, that it was a hayrah sure that they were required to bring korbanos at that time. And then there was another Hayruah Shor, what to do with the dam of the Karbonis. Normally the dam of the Karbonis is sprinkled on the Mizbech. What do they do here? So the Torah says, Ve'ikach Moshe Chatzi Adam, he divided the dam in half. Half of the dam he put into a kli, and he was zorek on the Mizbech. And the other half of the dam, he was zorek by Yizrak al Ha'om. He was zorek on the people. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Zvachim, Ve'ikach Moshe Chatzi Adam. How did Moshe Rabbeinu have the ability to divide the dam in half?
What's
took a cup of dam and he put half the dam in here, it's too much. He put it back in there, he had half. What's the problem? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Mi Chilko, who split the dam in here? And for the Gemara, Malach Bo Vechilko. An angel came and divided the dam in here. What was so difficult to divide the dam in here?
The sum of that should be exactly in half.
So the problem with Stam is, the Gemara has a whole debate, the Maseches Chorus, whether Epshel Tzamtzim or Epshel Tzamtzim. If you'll measure, a person measures, and it looks to him that it's exactly in half, or exactly 12 inches, or exactly 10 millimeters, whatever a measurement is supposed to be. So does the Halacha declare that to the best of your ability, to the best of human ability, that's called a shear, that's called half? Or do you say, no, Epshel Tzamtzim? But since it's probably going to be a millimeter more or less or whatever, an ounce more or less. So it's not, the halacha doesn't consider it that it's exact. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. So the Gemara asked the kasha, but what do you do? So maybe that's a pshat over here. It says, chatzi adam, chatzi adam. The Rashi's quoting the Gemara. The Gemara is bothered with the question, how can a human being figure out exactly here? So the answer, Malach did it. And achanami, but the adam, a human being can't do it. They needed a Malach al pines. They were able to divide it in here. I thought Bishul Leib Diskin has a sefer on Shmeis where he finds that difficult to say that's the pshat. That's the difficulty over here. Why? He says the Gemara asks in Chayrus this kasha. In the second paragraph of Chayrus, the Gemara asks in Parshas Truma, the Chumash says what the measurements of the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah and the crushing had exact measurements. So the Gemara asks, but you need exactly Amosai Mechetzi Yarkov, Amo Mechetzi Yarkov, Amo Mechetzi Komos, exactly. No, if you hold the Epshel Tzamtzim, so the whole Mishkan was puzzled, nothing was exact. So the Gemara says, no, Belay's prayer. If the Rebbe Shlom says you have to make exact, you're unable to make exact. So obviously it means over there, to the best of your ability. The only time it's a Shaila is if the Pasuk doesn't tell you. Let's say the Gemara has a case. I'm measuring the Erev around town. Half the Erev is missing, half the Erev is there. So do you assume that it's really half and half, exactly half and half? In which case it would be good, the Gemara says. Machta Machta is Kerev is good. Or should I say no, that Epshel Tzamtzim, it must be that it's either the robe is up or the robe is down, and you have a suffix, maybe the robe is down and the Erev is no good. And there is no psukim, but whenever the Torah says explicitly, do this in an exact fashion, so to the best of his ability, he does it. So that's where Rabbi Shulab Diskin asked, what was the difficulty over here? To the best of his ability, he'll divide it in half and shine it, and if it turns out that it's not here, but that's what the Rav Shlomo is mitzvah him, half and half, so what do they need a malach to do it? So he points out, he thinks the answer is as follows. There's a major machloikis hatanoim here. How do you translate pshat in the pasuk? Perek chav dalet pasuk ches in Parshas Mishpatim. Vayikach Moshe es hadam, vayizrok al ha'om. What does it mean, vayizrok al ha'om? He took the dam, half of the dam he was zorek on the mizbech, and the other half he was zorek on the people. He put on the hand. Like by Korban Mitzorah, the Asham Mitzorah, you had matan behind us. He put the dam on his right thumb and on his right toe, the big toe, and on his inside of his ear. Is inside the ear. So what do we mean over here? There's also matan damim on bnei Yisrael by Yisrael kal ha'om. That's how the Gemara learns pshat increases daf tesem and aleph. The Gemara says increases. How do you know that a ger habolah his guy, when a non-Jew comes to convert, he has to have milo, tvila, and korban. He has to be mal. So we learned from Bnei Yisrael that they were mal before Matan Torah. Then how do you know that he has to have a korban? Because Bnei Yisrael brought these korbanos, the olos and the shlomim from Bnei Sedri and Mishpatim. So that's how you know that any ger, because at the time of Matan Torah, that was an act of ger. And how do you know that you have to go to mikveh? Where does it say that in Chumash? So the Gemara says, well, it says Vayizrak al ha'om, that there was Zerik the dam on the people, and the Gemara understands Kipshuto, Moshe Rabbeinu threw the dam on the bodies of the people. And Gemiri, we have a tradition that doesn't say Chumash, Gemiri, the Lekha Hazor Balay Tzvima. He cannot be mazah anything on a person unless the first that person is tabled in the mikveh. So obviously it's to be assumed that all of Bnei Yisrael were tabled first in the mikveh, and then he was Zerik the dam on the people. So from this assumption we derive that any gear, Habola his gayer, has to go to the mikveh first. That's because we're learning pshat of the pasuk by Yisroel kal ha'om. That's how the Tanoim say increases daf tes and aleph. By Yisroel kal ha'om, he reserved the dam on the bodies of the people. Rashi on Chumash points out that the Targum Unkelus disagrees with that Tan. Targum Unkelus is also a Tan. Gemara says in Megillah Gabdina, Unkelus hager learned in the, he was a goy who converted at the age of 35, whatever, had to learn in cheder with the little kids who were learning, the third grade kids who were learning Chumash with the Targum. The Rebbe was teaching Taich, and he was an older man. He had to go sit with the little kids. So he was learning Targum. So the little kids, 3 years old, they were chazering ein bal peh. The reishis in Anfang Borelak, in Eibishlik Yishach, whatever. The Rebbe was teaching in Targum Lashon. So the little kids didn't know how to write. So they just memorized it bal peh. And Unkelus was already a grown man. So he just wrote down what the Tanoim said. So the Gemara says that Unkelus Hager wrote down what he heard from the Tanoim, Rav Lezer Rav Yeshua. So it's also a Tana. So Unkelus writes on this pasuk, not like the Gemara increases that tester. It's a famous on the Gemara. And Creasus points out it's a machlokes ha-tanoim. Unkelus against the Tanoim in the Gemara. The Targum Unkelus quoted by Rashi says, Uzrak al mad b'chol ha-torah al amo. And when it says by Yisroel kal ha-om, it doesn't mean that he sprinkled the blood on the people. He sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeah to be mechaper on the people. For them, it's the two halves of the dam were both sprinkled on the Mizbeah. Not that half was sprinkled on, one cup was sprinkled on the Mizbeah and the other half was sprinkled on the people. Everything was sprinkled on the Mizbeah. So Rabbi Sholei Diskin writes in a sefer, he thinks that this is the problem. We have a halacha in the Gemara in Zvachim, when you zorik dam on the Mizbeah, you have to have a kabbalah dam in the kli. So you have to be the kabbalah dam in the kli. So he says, how did Moshe Rabbeinu do this? So he says, simple. You take a kli and you mekabbalah dam from the par. What is it? From the oilis, from the shlomim. And then after you mekabbalah dam, then you got to pour half in another kli. Half in this kli, half not, we figure it out. He says, no, but the din is you have to be mekabbalah dam directly from the par. So you have to mekabbalah half of the dam in one kli and then quickly move another kli under the neck of the par to be mekabbalah the other half of the dam. So after you've already been mekabbalah all the dam, then you know how to divide it in half. To the best of your abilities, it looks like it's 50-50, that's half, chatsi chatsi. So how does he know in advance how much dam is going to come out? That's what the Gemara is bothered with. Who made the division? How can you have a kabbalah sadam? And how do you know in advance when the half of the dam is finished that you should be mekabel the other half? After you've already been mekabel the dam in the kli, you can split it in half. But this Tana that Rashi is quoting from the Gemara holds like Rashi quotes later from the Unkelus, that the both halves of the dam were nizrak on the mizbeach. So any dam that's nizrak on the mizbeach has to have a kabbalah and a kli directly min apar, from the par's neck. So that's what Rashi says from the Gemara. He's quoting the Gemara. Malach bov v'chilkin, the malach did a moifes, and he said switch now. The malach did it, switch now. And it turned out that it was exactly half and half.
Why can't you mix it after it comes out? You take half and you got the four and
you have to be a couple of times directly from the neck of the
arm. All of it. And would you have it in your hand?
So the idea was that you have to have half of the dumb one thing, 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 half of the dum
Maybe.